Art Society, the best podcast that explores contemporary forms of art through miniseries. If you are curious to know more about the influence of contemporary art in our society, Art Society is the best podcast for you. I'm Cynthia Cabral, and I will introduce you the second episode of 100 Years of Artivism, our first miniseries dedicated to this concept, which is a mix of art and activism. In our last episode, we talked about artivism under authoritarian regimes. Today's episode will focus on artivism without borders. Let me introduce you to our panel of experts to discuss this matter. Our first panelist is Camille Polo, an American politist journalist who will talk about the Irish borders. Welcome, Camille.
Hi.
Our second panelist is Sarah Trabi, a journalist specialized in migration. She will give us a deeper explanation on artivism within the U.S. and Mexican borders. Welcome, Sarah.
Welcome.
And finally, our last panelist is Louise Lemoine, a cultural journalist who will talk about artivism on the Berlin Wall. Welcome, Louise.
Hello, thank you.
Thank you for all being here. Camille, how has artivism played a major role in the Irish borders?
So there's 500 kilometer borders between Northern Ireland, which is in the UK, and the Republic of Ireland. Why is it fitting right now in the artivism at the borders? Because of the Brexit agreements, the fear of penuries. The Republican Irish borders are also very vocal about multiple of issues like climate change or cancer preservation. And we have the example of the Free Dairy Wall, with the Free Palestine right now that is going on. They made a mural about it, and they are very vocal about the situation, and so that's why it's fitting right now.
Okay, great. And so according to you, artivism doesn't really have borders because some people take things that happened in the past and try to also resonate to the issues that happened in past generations. So do you think that, could you explain to us how and when did the issues in Ireland take place?
So to sum up that very quickly, I'm going to take the example of the Troubles that happened in the 1970s to the 1990s. It's the Irish civil rights movement, basically, and the most important thing that happened there is the Bloody Sunday. Northern Irish artivism is very vocal about place and violence. Those six words on the Free Dairy Wall that are saying, "You are now entering Free Dairy," is like accidental artivism. They're symbols of generations for fight and peace, and it's going back to your roots, and it's going back to spread awareness about the violence of colonization, and that's why its sympathy is now with Palestine. And I would say it's one of the first examples of modern artivism within the borders, and inspired many, as like U2, as we just heard, the Toots, which is a Northern Irish group. There's different types of artivism in Ireland, but the most important part is the murals in this wall.
Thank you. And you, Louise, do you see some similarities between what happened in the Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland borders and in Germany with the Berlin Wall?
Yes, what Camille just said about you are now entering the Free Dairy Zone is quite similar to actually the iconic checkpoint Charlie on the Berlin Wall, which boldly stated you are leaving the American sector. So there's a sort of resemblance there. It's also the idea that both are walled as borders. So there's a really strong sense of a border. It's not a natural border. It's a wall that's been erected. And it's the same for the Berlin Wall. It was a wall that was constructed overnight in 1961 and that was present and separating the city of Berlin in two halves up until the year 1989. So for 25 years, there was a clear wall separating the USSR-controlled part of Berlin, and the other part of Berlin was controlled by France, the UK and the US.
Yeah. And could you give us an example of an artivist's work of art that was made on that wall?
Of course. So there are several graffitis that were made on the American part of the wall. So on the western part of the wall, which could be considered as a street art. But the most famous mural, I think, is a mural entitled "My God, Help Me Survive This Deadly Love" by the Russian artist Dmitry Vrubel. And it portrays the USSR leader Leonid Brezhnev and the GDR leader Eric Honecker kissing each other on the mouth.
Wow.
And so it's a way of denouncing this political interaction.
Well, thank you for giving us more explanation on what is happening in Ireland and in Germany. And now let's go to North America and see what is happening between the US and Mexico border. Sarah, please tell us more about the French artist Jean René, also known as GR, and how his art arrived between the US and Mexico border.
Yeah, so as you said, JR stands for Jean René because he's a French artist who was born in 1983 in Paris suburbs, very popular neighborhoods. He grew up in very popular neighborhoods. His parents worked in popular neighborhoods in Paris suburbs. So he was very influenced by a very young age to not only create visually striking works, but also to use his art as a means for social of advocating for social change. So JR is most notable for his use of black and white photography to highlight and celebrate the faces of people who are often marginalized or overlooked. So he has worked on many various projects around the world, pasting black and white, large scale black and white portraits of people in urban environments to bring attention to various causes. And one famous piece of work that he made was entitled The Picnic at the Border, which was located at the border between the US and Mexico in 2017, precisely when the US government started the construction of the wall. So we were going to listen to Trump's famous speech about that.
Build that wall. Build that wall. Build that wall. Build that wall. Build that wall.
So the first thing JR did during his exhibition at the US-Mexican border is that he went to the closest home next to the Mexican fence, and he asked to take a picture of the picture of a young Mexican boy whose name is Kikito, and he was standing on in his crib, and he took his picture, and then he printed it and pasted it on wooden planks that were standing on a huge scaffolding on the Mexican side next to the fence. And if you were on the other side of the fence on the American side, you could see you had the visual impression. It created an impression that Kikito, the young Mexican boy, was peeking over the fence, looking at the American side. So JR wanted to take this exhibition a step further by organizing a picnic around the border. So he built with Mexicans and Americans a huge table that would stretch across the fence, and on this table was a tablecloth on which they pasted the eyes of a photography of eyes, and yes, there were the eyes of a dreamer. And the dreamer is a term to describe undocumented immigrants who arrive in the US as children. So these were the eyes of a young woman who came illegally to the US as a child, and whose eyes were depicted on this tablecloth. And so JR invited hundreds of guests, both from the Mexican side and the American side, to share a meal, food, drink, listen to music. And he also invited Kikito and his family. And you could see from above the eyes of this of the dreamer, and both Mexican Americans sharing food and around this table.
Well, we can see in all of your examples that artivists use the walls as places where they can express love, empathy, and compassion for those who are on the other side of the wall, right? What do you think about this, Camille?
Empathy is indeed very important in the Northern Irish artivism. That with like the wall nowadays, we have like cancer wall, climate change, LGBTQ+, and like other things, like for example, the abortion rights in Ireland. So it's very important for them to work with empathy and compassion and love. And it's something that they're very vocal about.
Right. And you, Louise, what do you think about this? Do you feel that on the Berlin Wall there was some sort of expression of empathy and compassion?
Well, I think it was very tangible to see how much the political compassion and empathy was really more on the Western side, because they did not decide to construct the wall. It was a decision made by the USSR. So even just the famous speech by Kennedy saying, Ich bin ein Berliner, that dates back to the 1960s, which we will hear just now, explains how much empathy there was at the time already.
All free men, wherever they may live, are citizens of Berlin. And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein Berliner.
So this sense of compassion is further expressed in what Sarah said, I think, which was really interesting, is the idea of taking the border a step further.
Right. And you, Sarah, what do you think about this?
Well, I think in JR's exhibition, love, compassion and solidarity were definitely the predominant emotions, because there was solidarity, there was sharing of similarities, there were all listening, both American and Mexicans were listening to same music, eating the same food, etc., etc. So yeah, definitely.
Right. And so somehow you think that walls are used as canvas to debunk the walls that are built between nations, that people build in many generations because of wars, conflicts, right?
Yes, indeed. Walls projects, they often involve the collaboration with local communities. And I think that's what make walls so special, because there's this dichotomy between the initial meaning of a wall, which is to separate, to isolate, and the democratic nature of art on walls, that which often involves everyone and give a voice to not only artivists, but also ordinary people who have this, who can try and come and paint and participate in the art.
Right. So for example, in your example, Cami, you showed us like some music groups that express, are somehow like artivists, right? Like the group U2 for the Irish conflict. Could you give us more examples of it? In the musical genre?
Yeah, thank you. So we have the Toots, that is Northern Irish. It's a word actually in Northern Irish that means informer. They are still touring today, which is very nice to hear, like, still active voices today about this subject. And they are very vocal about climate change. They did this whole album about the abortion rights when the Republic of Ireland was voting it, even if they are from the north. So it's very nice to see also with like the Irish folk songs that are like, it shows that you're coming back to your roots and before colonization. So that was very nice.
Oh, thank you. Do you have something more to add before we finish our episode?
No, I think what is really interesting is this idea of taking a border that is supposed to separate and use it to unify people through art. So this idea that the border cannot stay a simple separating piece, and the idea of creating something to go over it is something that I think reveals something very touching about human nature.
Well, thank you very much, you three, for coming here. Thank you, Camille Poulou, Sarah Trabi and Louise Lemoine.
Thank you.
For participating on the second episode of Artivism Without Borders, of course. And we can see that despite conflicts and wars, artivism has provided a great sense of optimism and hope for a better future. So thank you very much for being here. And if you have been listening until now, please join us for our next episode on 100 Years of Artivism, which will be about artivism as a tool of claim for minority identities. See you next week.